Talking that hot shit.
I am talking that hot shit. And I've already got you out there.
That's fine.
I'm caught up there. What are you talking about? I can't go live.
Fucking Khalees ass. And you're stuck caught out there.
I hate you so much right now. Yeah. Speaking of Khalees.
Yeah.
That's a trauma response.
The
That's a trauma response.
Oh my god, the condensation.
Hi, Ray.
Hello. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the season 2 finale of Black Girl Charm. I know we've been, I promised you guys going live, I promised you guys a meetup, and then my world went to shit. Hi, Panther. Hi. All lights on you, huh? Everything's about you. Anyway, me and
you
Panther.
You were like Carmen San Diego in it last couple of weeks.
Yo. I'm trying to do it again, but like, people are just making things hard. Anyway, me and my co-host Panther are joined by my other co-host.
No, I'm here. Hi, guys. I am so tired.
You know, pre-pro was just like, we gonna get this done really quickly. All right. Because you said it before we started recording, but for a season finale, I never knew this was a season finale. I honestly never thought this was the season 2 finale.
I had to double check because I'm like, the last time that we talked, we had said this was going to be finale. We were excited because we finally get in season 3 where there's actually going to be like continuity. And I was like, this isn't this. And then Dan popped up and I was like, this is who?
Yeah.
It was underwhelming.
Underwhelming.
And I love French Stewart, but not for a finale.
I feel like this is the beginning of French Stewart playing a pervert, and we will go into that more once we hit the the guest stars. So what have you, well, I know you've been watching this week. You've been watching Minions Rise of Gru. Oh, you got an infant. You got a baby.
Girl, I watched it. I was going to put Sing 2 in there, but it wasn't new. We watched Sing 2 like every other week.
I have yet to see Sing 2 because Sing 1 made me cry.
It made you cry?
There was like a dead dad scene and it got me.
All right. I see that.
Yeah.
Bono's in Sing 2.
Okay. I'm not Phoebe Robinson, so I don't really know why you're telling me about Bono.
I didn't know you were a YouTube fan.
I am a YouTube fan, but like, I'm not a YouTube fan that was like, oh my god, Bono's in this movie? I gotta go.
I like his character in this movie. It was really cute. Okay.
I mean, before like the Bono stands and the YouTubers come after me, you know, uno, dos, tres, cuatorce! I quote that shit all the time. Once a month. I'm lying. Twice a week.
You know, I haven't really been watching a lot of TV. I've gotten back into reading. And I told you about it, I think, a couple of weeks ago. You guys, I've talked about this before. I am a lover of smut. And I have found the Quinn app. And this is obviously, we are not sponsored, but I am really enjoying the Quinn app. So I have not been watching TV. But I have been listening to Oral.
All right. You know what? I too might rejoin this wave because the issue with me is it all gets very monotonous after a while. Like, oh yes. And it's like, all right, I'm bored.
Right. Like, and So I do have a couple of like voices that I really, really like. You can get a free month out there. So I'm still on my free month, but I already told my husband, I was like, I'm letting you know now, like I am paying for a year subscription. He don't care as long as he's, you know, whatever gets him to where he need to go. He don't care. But
yeah,
it's like $35 for the year or something like that. And there is different audio. So there's black audios too. So it's not just like white voices or anything like that. There's femme voices. And there's a couple where I was like, oh my God.
This is going to be a weird segue, but also on point. I understand what you're saying, because with Headspace, I cannot fall asleep to a woman's voice. But some of those male narrators, put me to bed. Put me to sleep.
I have gone to sleep to Quinn. It has been very nice. And they have audios like that. So they have like different type of audios. So there's like good girl audios and friends to lovers, enemies to lovers. Enemies to lovers, one of my favorites. I have not listened to it because I didn't realize what it was. But they have a selection of, they call it like overhearing it. And I was like, why would I want like to over, like not realizing what it was? But apparently you're like overhearing it. Like you're,
you know, it's just taking me back to a time in Atlantic City.
I think I sent you the code I use for the 30 days. It's really, really good. Really good. And then there's also a Reddit forum where some of them post on Reddit too, outside of Quinn. So you can have free audios. I have a bunch saved. Just
I'm about to like hop in Reddit and just be like, hey.
I will send you. No. I'll send you all my saved ones after.
You know, I love a good slow burn. Yes. I am a fan of enemies to lovers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Bigger fan of enemy and enemy. Hey.
There's one, and they did, it was like two waiters. He was like, why are you such a fucking bitch all the time? And I was like, oh my God. I'm so glad like these are like Bose headphones and they're noise canceling and there's no sound leakage, because I was just...
As long as you don't fall for the your Bluetooth connecting to the wrong speaker.
I unplug my Bluetooth when I have a meeting because I'm always afraid something's gonna happen.
That's why my camera is always off in meetings, because I don't know why it happened. But getting out of the smut land, because we can stay here all day.
All day.
Given how like weird this episode was. Because I've probably been traveling a lot, I've had so much more time to catch up on so much shows.
Yes.
So, speed round. I've been watching Project Runway. I have finished The Flash. I have finished all three seasons of Mythic Quest. I have started The Bear season 2. I have 2 episodes left.
That man is so fine. Woo.
I have restarted Supernatural. I am in season 4.
Wait. We restarted Supernatural?
I am in season 4.
Why you ain't tell me? I would have watched and rewatched it with you.
Oh, man.
Okay. God. Tell me what episode. I'll skip out the first 3 and I'll do season 4 with you.
Sam Winchester is such a whiny little bitch boy.
You already know how I feel about, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you really want to do, like, Supernatural after this? Because it's going to be Phoebe to the 10th degree. I don't think I've ever truly hated a person that is not real.
We can. I mean, you know what? Supernatural was giving, like, especially like the first 3 seasons, such good TV. Mm-hmm. And then like it was the bank episode, it was the mystery spot episode. Mm-hmm. And Justin Bellow, the prison episode.
Okay. Well,
the jail episode, those were, they aired back to back to back. You gave us 3 bangers back to back.
Speaking of Supernatural, I find that French, and you're way better at like naming characters and stuff like that. I don't have that brain power. But I find that the Genie episode reminded me of the Trickster episodes.
Yeah.
And they did such a better... I mean, obviously it was a arc that spanned seasons, but they did such a better job at it.
Of it, yeah. Last but not least, I've been watching The After Party. It does star Tiffany Haddish, but you know.
Oh, yeah.
But She is the no, because we actually like Garnish. Like she doesn't Tiffany Haddish it up, if that makes any sense. Like she is still Tiffany Haddish, but she's more palatable in this. Like she only has one episode dedicated to her. Everything else, she's just listening to people's mind movies. Like the supporting cast is really good, but you know, if you have hopped off the Tiffany Haddish train, you know, maybe it's not for you. Season 2 starts July 13th, but
I was never really on the Tiffany Haddish train. Her date in common was a bombastic side eye. And I would say other things, but I don't have the energy to like edit it out, so I'm not.
That's fine. So let's just hop into this episode. We are on season 2, episode 22, the season finale. Be careful what you wish for. Because, you know, wish. The original air date was May 18th, 2000. The writers are Brad, Zach, and Chris. And surprise, our director of this episode was Shannon herself, Ms. Prue. That's why she was like 6 or 70 for most of the episode. We ain't see her ass.
She was so adorable as a teenager.
Oh, man, the braces and everything. So our guest stars this week, we have Marcus Graham as the Dragon Warlock. He has 65 credits, including Mulholland Drive, the TV show and movie. Oh. Jeff Corey as council member number one, rest in peace. He had 239 credits, including Murphy Brown and the A-Team. J.G. Hertzler played council number two. 53 credits, including The Bold and the Beautiful and 6 Feet Under. Zito Kazan, what a name. also, rest in peace, council member three, 88 credits to his name, including Curb Your Enthusiasm. I know. And Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. And last but certainly not least, French Stewart as the Genie. 118 credits, including Third Rock from the Sun, where I fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. Will Trent, where he plays Chomo. And Mom, where he plays an alcoholic drug addict chef.
Did you get my text message?
Yes. So, which led me to you a French Stewart hole. So his first wife left him for another actor, and when I looked him up, I was just like, y'all two? Huh. Interesting. They're both character actors. I believe Grant Show, he's on like the new Dynasty, or was on the new Dynasty. And the wife, I can only remember her from this episode of 2 and a Half Men, where she was fucking Charlie. But it was literally like a carbon copy of his mom. But it's like 30 years younger. Like she was a real estate agent. His mom's a real estate agent. She's shortened to the point. His mom is shortened to the point. I think her name was like Catherine Lanasta or Lanaza, whatever. It kind of sounds like lasagna, but without like lasagna.
Wow.
Wow. Anyway, the peacocks. Wow. I know. the peacock synopsis is: the Infernal Council sends a genie to destroy the power of three. The IMDb synopsis is: a genie employed by a dragon warlock to steal the Hallowell's powers offers to grant each sister one wish. For whatever they desire. Okay, whatever. And like, goddamn, the DVD just gave it all away. Prue is killed, and Piper and Phoebe are powerless to reverse the deadly damage when a fast-talking genie working for a dragon warlock grants each sister's a wish. That makes no sense.
Yeah, that's making sense.
I don't have anything after the credits because Shazam cannot find the song. I tried my, three times, and they wouldn't give it to me.
They were like, what the fuck is this? My song Pretty was much. Delicious Surprise by Beth Hart.
Were there anything about trains in yours? Because they were like, a train going off the track. A train going off the track. That's the only thing I could remember from that song. Any initial thoughts?
I mean, we said it. It was really underwhelming. It would have been good for like a middle episode, but not for, I guess, the whole
how it ends.
Dying. Yeah, Prue dying, finally wrapping up the whole Dan thing, I guess, gave it finale stuff. But I feel like we've had so much better finales than... It was just lackluster.
Season one finale was so good. So to give us this...
Season one finale had me sobbing.
Yeah, to give us this is so mid. And then you come, like, yeah, this was such a mid-ass season. This was the season that Maggie got exposed, but we're not going to talk about it. but like,
they made that man go premature gray because ain't no way you, man.
Start the episode. Hey, yo, DJ, run that shit.
DJ now. Okay. So we are in the underworld, the underbelly, and there's a council of five demons, and they're basically talking about all the demons that these girls have knocked off. Like, San Fran is no longer a safe haven for demons anymore due to the Charmed Ones. And so there's a dragon warlock who's like, I can do this. I can take on the Charmed Ones. And they're like, nah, bro, we've tried this. We've done this. It's not really working. And when the counselors pops up and he has a bottle, and you know, I'm a genie in a bottle, baby. And the genie comes out and is like, I could do this. I can give the sisters exactly what they want, and then y'all can go and kill them. And my first thought was, I'm trying to think if I can say it.
Find it.
My first thought was, clearly you're not cultured enough to know that you shouldn't trust a djinn. Who trusts a, and y'all are demons. Y'all should know better.
I said, but that well. if he double crosses us, like, who would want to double cross a demon is what I think that they're thinking. But continue, because somebody got a curfew.
So I mean, that's basically what they say to him. They're like, you know, play with us if you want to. We will always find you as long as you're a genie. We will be able to track you down. Play with us. So the next scene, you see that.
Sorry. I was just going to say, like, this cold open felt very long.
Yeah.
And I was just like, the credits ain't rolled yet? Okay.
Not only did it feel very long, I feel like that's when I knew that it was going to be a lackluster episode, because I didn't care. Is the man from 30 Rock in this episode? Right? Like, you're expecting for a season finale to get like some like big bad demon, and we got an alien.
French Stewart.
And nothing wrong with French Stewart. It provided more, I think, comedy than drama. And that to me is, with all of how the season went, I didn't think that was the best way to wrap it up.
Use of everybody's time, yeah.
Right. So we're back at the Hallowell Manor, and Phoebe has a sprained ankle as usual because she ain't got no real powers, and she was high-yawing back and forth with all these demons and stuff like that, and she hurt her ankle because she landed on it wrong. We find out that Dan is back in town, and Piper is still trying to figure out how to face him, because the last time that she saw him, he let her know that Leo is dead. He died in 1954, and this man is a liar.
A fraud.
Man.
No, I'm literally thinking about Marlo Hampton.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
We find out that Prue is dating some man named Dick. She's not really interested in him. He is boring, but you know, she's just going date to date because she feels like all she's been doing is demon hunting and not really like getting dicked down.
If you see what I mean. Which is true.
I mean, yeah.
Like, I knew three men wrote this episode because we spent like 4 minutes on dick jokes.
And it was dick jokes later in the episode, too. I know they were in the writer's room cackling. Like, all right.
We really going to swing them with this one.
The humor chip of a 13-year-old boy. But even I was like, all right, it's enough. It's enough. You're laying it on thick.
We're over it.
So the girls find a package on their doorstep. And when they open up the package, there's a bottle in it. And I was like, y'all are really going to. First of all, y'all gonna touch this shit? Like, after everything that we've been through this season with monkeys and Ebola viruses and all the other things that they went through this season, we really gonna pick up a random package and open it? And then, like, I know she didn't, like, rub on it to rub on it. She rubbed on it, but it was dusty. But again, like, that shit could have been a demon bomb.
What's your point? Like, I don't really know what the problem is. Like, they do this all the time.
Yeah.
These are the most problem. Yeah, this is it's normal for them. It's not a problem.
All right. So when she dusts off the bottle, Christina Aguilera pops out and she offers each sister a wish. Don't shake at me. If they can make dick jokes, I can make 1999 Christina Aguilera. 2000. Jokes.
But continue.
You know you're annoying, right? You know that, right?
Like, I'm adorable. Libras
always gotta be fucking right.
Oh my God.
And if I ever get on a game show and I call you and you lose, I will never let you live that shit down. Ever.
That's fine.
But I'm gonna continue.
You got curfew.
So Phoebe wants to know who sent the bottle. And the genie's like, I don't know. I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I got wrapped up in a package placed gently on your doorstep without a nick, near, scratch on my shit. Thank God Leo was like, he's a genie. We don't trust genies. Let me explain to you why we don't trust genies. Because genies are going to do everything in their power to get free. So if you make a wish, yeah, you're going to get your wish, but there's going to be consequences behind it. And I was like, finally, we didn't have to like.
And he actually gives him a good example. He's like, let's say you wish for a car. Your dad will die the next day and you would inherit his car. So, like, let's not say that we did.
That's why I'm very careful on the spells that I do, because I'm always afraid of that consequence. So they're like, all right, we're definitely not going to do any spells with the genie. Hop along, Phoebe can't really go nowhere. So she was like, I'm going to stay and figure out, like, in the Book of Shadows, what's going on with the genie. Prue is like, she is going to go see Dick. Where did Piper go? Piper went to P3 to go and confront. Damn. Which, leave him alone.
Like, we brought this up on Astro Monkey, or it came up in Astro Monkey, where Dan was like, he coming back. And Piper was like, oh no, we gotta come up with a plan. And Leo didn't give a fuck. He was like, a plan? Maybe what do we need a plan for?
Leo in his face, like, I know you wish you were still tasting this thing. The way he be staring at him is so, like,
insidious. Like...
He's like, you swung at me, you had me in a headlock, and I still got your bitch.
And you know what? Y'all deserve each other, because I'm disgusted. After this episode, I am thoroughly over Piper and Leo. I never want to discuss their love life again. I'm so done. You think I'm joking, but I'm so dead ass. Unbelievably dead
their
ass.
Their love life is a huge plot line over the next few seasons. What do you mean?
I'm over it, and I'm over fucking them. Like, it don't make no sense. This shit was written by men, and I just don't respect it. I when we get to it, we'll get to it.
Okay.
But continue.
Let me move forward. So Prue goes to lunch with Dick. And Dick is like, yeah, I come here all the time because, you know, it's really close to work. I don't like taking long lunches. Everything on the menu is fine. The fish is fine. The salmon's fine. The Caesar salad's fine. The steak is fine. Like, everything is fine. And you see the genie, like, appear miniature, like a mini genie, and, like, goes up his nose. And Dick becomes a completely different Dick. He's like, I know that this, we're not compatible. I know that I bore you to death. Like, what is it that you want in life? And that's when Prue makes the first wish. And she says that she wishes that she felt like the first time that she ever fell in love. And she didn't realize that the genie tricked her. And so I'm like, this is a fucking djinn. This ain't no genie. This is a goddamn djinn. But whatever. I didn't write it. That's the lore in Charmed. But whatever. So then the genie pops up in the attic. And Phoebe's going through the Book of Shadows. He's not in the Book of Shadows. She doesn't understand why. He's like, because I've already told you. You make three wishes, I get freed, I'm out of your hair. There's really no reason for me to be in the Book of the Shadows. So she still won't get him a wish.
So Phoebe took on babysitting duty for the genie, but the genie had time to disappear, handle Prue, and then pop up. Like, where did the genie go? Like, what did he tell you so he can disappear and poof, in a cloud of smoke, come back without you being none the wiser?
To me, it wasn't a plot hole, because I was like, why would y'all leave Hop Along Phoebe to watch this genie? She don't ever do... I'm going to take that back. It's only towards the end of the show that Phoebe does anything right. So at the beginning of the show, you know she going to fuck something up. You know what? I feel like that was just that's part of her charm. I will say her hair looked very, very nice in this episode. There goes your...
Yeah, she was cute. Phoebe nice
episode. So now we're at P3, and Piper is talking to Leo about everything that's going on and how she feels bad about Dan. Why, if you wanted to talk to Dan, Dan is heartbroken. Why'd you bring your man along?
What you think, Dan gonna jump you? So you need your backup? The man who ain't got no hands? Okay.
She was afraid that Dan was going to be like, run away with me. Let me give you all this money and let me give you my love. And she's going to be like, Leo, who? That's why Leo has to be there all the time, because she knows she made the wrong choice. So Dan comes in, he sees them together, and the look of heartbreak on this man's face.
Is it this scene?
That man is such a good actor.
I think it is this fucking scene where she's just like, I don't know nothing about you. You know, like, you've been watching me all my life. I know nothing about you. Where do you go when you orb away? Do you have a house? Do you have friends? You didn't know any of this information before you chose him over Dan? You didn't get none of this information, you stupid fucking bitch?
It was this smile that he gave her back when she was saying all of this. And I was like, this is so predatory.
It don't make no sense.
It didn't.
So you telling me a grown woman is literally going to choose the person who has been watching her all her life from the time she popped... Matter of fact, he's been watching her from the time she was inside her mom.
Wow,
you've been watching her from... Yes. From the point of conception, he has known this woman.
Ew.
And you don't even know if this man has a house, you dumb fucking bitch.
Your ex-boyfriend had to tell you that your man had a whole ass woman and was previously married.
I was like, my ex-boyfriend?
Jose was about to get fucked up.
Like, are you kidding me? You have to learn.
Is it daddy issues?
No, it's dumb bitch issues. Cause ain't no fucking way. How you now asking if he got a house when you're the one paying all the bills? You pay for all the dates. If he don't have no money for a date, you think he got money for a house? You stupid fucking bitch. This is why this episode was written by three men and I hate it. Cause this don't make no sense. Ain't no way. You don't give up stable ass Dan, who has retirement money and a business money? Ain't no fucking way. Dumb bitch juice. Sorry, that was my rant for the episode. Continue.
Oh. So Leo goes And he's like hiding in the back watching the conversation. And Piper finally comes clean and is like, yep, I know everything about this scam artist. I know who he is. And Dan is like, you raggedy bitch. I've been sitting here for months worried about you, worried that you getting taken, that you getting conned by this man, and you telling me that you fucking knew? And then he
not
did
only that
little,
you
like,
know, but you that you don't give a fuck.
His bottom lip did this little quiver, and I was like, I wish we had more, Dan. Just for the looks of it all. But he was just like, you ain't give a fuck about me. You ain't give a fuck about my feelings. Fuck you, bitch. And he walked off. I was like, God damn it, Dan.
About time you stand up for yourself.
Right? I mean, he did stand up when he beat the shit out of Leo, but that's neither here nor there. Piper wishes that she can get Dan to, like, move on with his life. And little did she know that the genie was at P3 waiting for her to pop that wish. Which, does that count? Like, if I didn't,
no.
Like...
No. None of these wishes count.
So the genie goes back to Phoebe in the attic. And you know where he gets Phoebe? He'd be like, oh, Phoebe, let me rub your sprained ankle. Let me make you feel better. It really sucks that you gotta do all this without no active power. I was like, damn, game, set, match. Game, set, match.
He was really like, oh, let me talk to you nice. That man, this episode was so predatory. I hate it.
He was like, damn, I wish I could be human. I wish I could have ice cream. I wish I could have a little, oh, I learned a new word today. It's cootie pop. That's what I'm saying now. Instead of pudari, I'm going to say cootie pop. I'm in the South now. Cootie pop. He was like, I wish I could have some cootie pop. I wish I could just like be human and experience what it is to be human. And they get to talking and, yo,
all
in a house of
needed.
Four people, Leo and Phoebe will always be the weakest link. Always.
Yo, he was the worst white lighter in the world this episode.
Okay, I'm gonna leave that for later. So, boom, she wishes to have an active power. Genie's like, gotcha, bitch.
She doesn't even wish. She says, like, I would love to have an active power. That's not a wish.
I don't make
they play
the
with
rules.
Semantics. Yeah,
Brad
continue.
Made the rules. Piper and Leo come back to the house, and they find that Dan has put his house up for sale. He has taken a job offer in Portland and is ready to move on. And when he told that, to Piper, I'm like, this man is fucking rich. He is moving to get away from you. Ain't no fucking job offer in Portland. He just don't want to be next to you, your sisters, and this bum-ass dude that you with.
Yeah.
There is no job offer in Portland.
He like, oh, you know he a scammer? Oh, so you know he a scammer. All right, when the boys come for you, I don't want to be here. Y'all over here committing fucking tax evasion. Elder fraud,
grand larceny,
stolen identity. When the boys come for you, I don't want to be Dan. Who? Dan?
He
what?
I was like, I'm ready.
Dan
to
is
go.
In Portland. Get the fuck out of my face. Continue.
So, Prue. First of all, where did Prue get the money to get a BMW on a photographer's budget? That was a nice BMW. She pulls
that
up and she was like,
insurance money. Got that far for her.
Okay, so it's probably like a used BMW. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. So she pulls up. She's like, oh my God, the valet said this is my car, guys. Look at my car. The girl got bangs and braces. She got the heavy pink blush on. She's a baby. She is 17 years old. She said that Piper and Leo looked old. And I was like, damn.
Are you feeling okay? Because you're looking a little old. Love it.
You know, my child said that to me. He came to me 2 days ago and was like, I just want to let you know that you're old.
This is also the same person who thought me and his other aunt worked for minimum wage. We really listen to this dumb boy? I mean, that's my nephew and all, but like...
He said you only got one bathroom. You clearly work for...
Don't even get me, yo, he saw my laundry card and was like, this is why I can never live in New York. Y'all, you don't have no, like, washer, dryer in your house. And it's like, You can't live in New York because you would get jumped every day. Shut up, you nutmeg boy.
He would get his ass whooped. We were talking about that today at the hair salon. They were like, would you ever like move back to New York with your son? I was like, that little boy would get his ass whooped every day. Crossing the street, he would get hit.
He would get skipped in line every day at the bodega. Why didn't you get lunch today?
Because I kept trying to place my order, but they kept skipping me, and then I had to go to school.
You're not going to talk about a baby like that. You're not going to talk about a baby like that on this podcast. How dare you? Fuck you and your cat.
That's a Harlem cat, all right? A black one, he from Harlem. That's why he always jumping up on shit.
I'm talking about your orange one, your dumbass cat.
First of all, nah. He was over here opening containers looking for food. So he was like, all right. They flip a hat.
I'll take it too goddamn long.
Yeah. Anyway, back to this episode.
They go inside and Phoebe's at the fucking ceiling just floating all helpless and shit. Leo had to go and bring her down. I know Leo be like, is the shit that good to be dealing with these hoes? Like, I know I get free housing at room and board, but damn.
Yo. I feel that, like, Leo and Phoebe be sharing that same brain cell.
I 100%, and I've said this before, that it should have been Leo and Phoebe, because they both dumb, and they could have been, like, the comic relief, and we could have gotten Prue and the Source. It's neither here nor there. I'm not gonna.
You're not gonna like not stress gonna yourself out.
So these are now all of the bad consequences of a wish. Because Phoebe is talking to Prue, and Prue is like, she don't have the memory of being older. She don't remember being a witch. And apparently Prue was wilding out and super rebellious at 17. And Leo's like, see, I told y'all dumb bitches to not make no wishes. And now here we are. So they're having that conversation.
You know what? Whatever. Continue. I'm
like
to say,
Leo has to, like, be his white lighter self. And that's what we got. So as they're having this conversation, the dragon warlock kicks in the door and was like, where the fuck is my power, bitches? And apparently the genie stole the flying power and gave it to Phoebe. So Piper, Phoebe, and Leo are trying to fight him. I don't even know why Leo be jumping in the fray. Like, just, but whatever. Them three go downstairs. They try to fight him. They try to keep Prue upstairs because Prue don't know what's going on. She's just, you know, 17 and just trying to be her little cute self and rebellious self. But she does come down to watch anyway. Piper is trying to get Leo to get her back upstairs. The dragon warlock breathes fire. Piper freezes it. Phoebe finally gets control of her new power magically within 35 seconds. And decides that she is going to push the dragon warlock in the middle of the fucking day. Probably a goddamn weekend day.
She literally said, I'm going to fly him somewhere and just drop him off.
Yeah. And everybody was like, that sounds like a good idea. Everybody was like, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Go do that. Whatever. So Leo and Piper go upstairs. There's a page. There's actually a page on the dragon warlock. They do need the power of three to destroy him, but there is no power of three because Prue is 17 and does not remember being a witch and does not have powers. Phoebe is flying around the outside of the manor and flies back in or crashes back in through a window. And I'm just like, why are the white lighters not like ring-a-ling-a-ling-ing this man's bell? Like, can you get your charges under control?
But because again, he's a shitty fucking white lighter and they're shitty fucking... I'm just going to be so upset this entire episode.
Phoebe cites that the book says that... Phoebe says that the book says that putting the genie back in the bottle will undo the witches. But I could have sworn she said earlier that she couldn't find a page on the genie, but whatever. She says that the genie has a thing for food and so they possibly could be at the cafe where he found Prue and made, and you know, forced Prue, whatever like that, to do the spell. Piper and Leo do find him at the cafe. He's eating. Piper freezes the scene and then unfreezes the genie so that they can have a conversation. And the genie's like, damn, you found her that quick? I wasn't expecting to find her that quick. But, you know, you guys got it. It's a gig. You know, I can't help what happens after I do my part of the gig, but it's a gig. But he won't give up exactly who sent him to undo the power of three. So they try to drag him from the table, but he's like, fuck this shit, I'm out. And he disappears.
Does he disappear or does he get summoned?
Right. So it looks like to them that he's like, fuck this shit, I'm out. But what ends up happening is that the dragon warlock and the genie have been summoned to the council. And the dragon warlock is like, yo, this genie has set us up. He took my fucking power, gave it back to the witches. That wasn't the plan. Like, he's trying to free himself and not trying to destroy the witches. And the genie's like, nah, go after the witch without any powers, you dumb fuck. Two of them have powers, but one don't. I have broken the power of three. You should be thanking me. You should, like, I'm the shit. And I was like, no, this is going to end bad.
This is the smartest thing that's been said this entire episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For comedic relief, you know, he has the best plan so far.
Mm-hmm.
While all this is happening, Prue is back at the manor, and she's going through her wallet. She finds whatever she was looking for. She got some money, and she goes out the bedroom window. She's like, peace, love, witch, whatever. As this is happening, Daryl calls Phoebe and is like, what the fuck are you fucks doing over there? Why am I getting a report of a young woman with brunette hair flying without a plane? And Phoebe's like, maybe it was a broomstick. And Zach was like, you know, they sent this shit right to my fucking desk. Do you understand what that means for me? Do you understand the pressure that I'm in? And you want to fucking play fucking jokes? I will fucking wring your neck. He doesn't say all that. I wish he did. But, you know, he's a lot more gentler with the girls than I would have been. She says it won't happen again. But it shouldn't have happened. Right. But it shouldn't have happened the first. Like, why is he? See, Daryl could, instead of being like the magical genie, Daryl could have been like the dad. Like, it better not happen again. What the fuck is wrong with you? Act right. Like, they need that father figure in their life. You need a good ass whooping. Piper and Phoebe, like, remember exactly what happened. Not so much Phoebe, but more so Piper. Like, oh, Prue was a really, like, rebellious chick when she was 17. She fell in love with this guy. They were in love. And then he attacked her. And then Leo and Phoebe, like, oh, shit, maybe we should go check up on her. And that's when we find out that she's actually missing.
Actually, we
also find out
that Gramps murdered somebody.
Yep, I was just going to bring that right back in there. I was just going to say that. I was like, go, Gramps. Because I love the way Piper was like, you know, we never saw that guy again. And I was like, yeah. Gramps don't play that shit. Dad comes to the door. Dan looked like if he breathed too hard, he is going to expire.
He has looked
gray
like,
hair.
You remember the Six Flags commercial where like the finger busters come? He looked like that guy's older brother.
Damn.
Took it back.
That was the shit. That was when Six Flags wasn't ghetto. Mm. Took it back. Prue is driving down the street and the dragon warlock appears to her as a hitchhiker, and Piper and Phoebe are trying to pick up the phone and she's not picking up the phone. Phoebe tries to get a premonition on her. It don't work. Piper, all this shit is happening all the same. Piper's feeling guilty about Dan. Prue picks up the dragon warlock. She picks up the hitchhiker. Why would you pick up a hitchhiker? What, like, even if you're a rebellious teenager, your Grams ain't give you the talk?
No, why would she?
I have to admit, though, like, I really feel like Charmed was the gateway to all of my demon smut. Because this next scene, when they were in the car and he was talking to her and he was like kissing and he started roughing up, he put his hand around her throat. I was like,
gulp.
I would die tonight. That would have been the end of now.
I mean, we see how this episode turned out.
I mean, I don't want to get stabbed, though. I don't want to get stabbed. My skin
what is
so
soft. Get stabbed? Some dagger?
I'm moving on. Prue is like, oh my God, you attacked me. And she hops out the car and runs off into the night. And the Dragon Ball looks like, I don't give a fuck. They're going to show up anyway. The Power 3, they're going to show up. And then when they show up, that is when I'm going to get them. The genie was in the back seat like a weirdo the entire time. The entire time. And the dragon warlock was like, do what you need to do if you want to be free. And I was like, genie, you ain't say nothing. You ain't say nothing. What happened to you ain't never had a friend like, you know, I don't know if I can say that. I'll just move on.
Because you know they will sue.
Now we're back at the manor. Dan is dying on this couch. He's dying on this couch. And Pipe, first of all, I feel like if you want to, why does Leo have to be there for everything? I understand it, like, helped the plot,
because
but like, every
when
time
you are in
confronts,
an abusive relationship, your abuser,
yo, that's what it looked like. Yo, that's
likes to separate you from, like, your friends, because last week, it was just all like, why your sister's always gonna be around. Now Dan, who was actually very helpful for, like, I really feel like the
That's
plan
exactly.
was to kill
she
Dan.
She was like kneeling.
The plan was to
Yo,
kill
she
Dan.
She was kneeling and he was standing behind her mad, like.
Menacingly.
Did you unlock something?
The plan was for Leo to kill Dan because for 2 weeks, like. Piper's been worrying about what to tell Dan, and Leo's just like, it don't matter what we tell him. It don't matter. Shh. Why are you worried about that? Because he was going to kill him. Dead
Dan's
don't
talk. Think he'll get a dark ladder to do it? Think he'll get a dark ladder to do it? You think he was going to do, like, too much Mickey powder?
No. I feel that, like, he was probably going to set him up on some, like, dying, kind of like how Andy died, rest in peace. But so Piper can feel that extra guilt and be like, he didn't deserve that.
I can never date a human again.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of diabolical shit? I'm coming for you, Brian Krause. What the fuck?
Because Leo is evil. If you think about this as like,
yo, you okay? So you haven't read the Sarah J. Maas books. So they're book one, right? You think who the hero is? Is it really the hero in book two?
Think about this as like a black episode of an investigation discovery show. Lamar murders like his the rival for his girlfriend's affection, you know, the basketball.
You talking
star.
About that small town murder show?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Leo's a murderer, guys.
Piper tells Dan the truth. Tells him everything. Sisters are witches.
Dan
sisters
believe
are
her.
Witches. All the family emergencies. Leo's like, I'm a white lighter. I'm like their guardian angel. I died in 1942. And Dan, does Dan die where she's, because he takes like this breath and then they go into Phoebe having like this premonition with the bottle being knocked under the furniture. Is he dying on this couch?
He is so exasperated by whatever the fuck they are saying that he's just like, I age 55 years in 2 hours. Please. Is this
just
me going senile? No, it can't be. Yo. How this episode ends, I can't even fault Dan. Because, yo, the mind fuck that could have happened in like 6 hours. Bruh. Anyway.
Prue figures out how to use her cell phone and she's able to call the house and doesn't make any sense. When did this episode air?
May 18th, 2000.
So Prue's like in her 30s, right?
I would say...
Saved by the Bell has cell phones. Why is she struggling to use a cell phone?
No, remember, Saved by the Bell had those like open face cell phones.
All right. Okay.
She had a flip phone.
Okay.
And just flipping it open didn't answer, but you had to like flip it open and hit
and
the green button.
She had a Nextel. Okay.
Yeah.
So Piper's telling her exactly where to go to a lake where they fished as kids and hide under the bridge, but the phone goes dead. Piper and Phoebe go to the park, and then Phoebe flies ahead to see if she can spot the warlock. Prue then panics and runs out the woods, and the dragon warlock grabs Prue, and the genie grabs Piper. They start arguing back and forth, and the dragon's like, I'm sick of this shit. Phoebe tries to come in to, which I don't know why you would do that. Again,
because she was following Leo's advice. Leo said, use your newfound power to scour and like see what's happening.
Right, to scout out, but not to like go and save the day. At the, like, as much as we want to talk about, she has an active flying. Technically, is not a fucking active power. It's just as helpful as a premonition when it comes to like fighting. And she flew mad slow.
She was gliding. Like, yo, I fly faster in fucking Zelda than she did. yo, all she did was a paraglider. She did fine.
So. This next scene pisses me off. He's like, fuck this shit. He stabs Prue. He throws Prue to the ground. Phoebe crash lands. They run to Prue. Before they run to Prue, the dragon warlock tries to grab Phoebe, but Piper freezes him, and then they go and they handle Prue. And I understand trying to get her to a safe space, because obviously the dragon warlock is going to unfreeze. But y'all are in the car. Like, why y'all not screaming?
For Leo?
For Leo. Why y'all Leo drove all the way back?
Why Leo, like, the one time lighter? That
this motherfucker should, like, beat up my ass. He's not. It didn't make any sense to me. So they get back to the house. That child is turning color. She's losing color from her face, and she is turning
Rick and Mortis is setting in.
Leo that tries to heal funny. Her. I'm just going to ignore you. Leo tries to heal her. And as we all know, white lighters cannot save the dead. And they are sobbing. And Leo comes back in with the genie. And the genie's like, I feel bad. This should have never happened. This isn't what I wanted. If I go back into the bottle, I can undo the wishes. And that would bring her back to adulthood, but we're not sure if she would actually revive. But she was stabbed as 17-year-old Phoebe, 17-year-old Prue. So adult Prue would be fine. And I was like, that don't make no sense. If 17-year-old Prue was stabbed, there would be no adult Prue. But whatever, let's give these girls hope. He claps. He returns to the bottle. Dan is back to being the fine, he would have made a good Witcher with the beard and shit versus what we get in. I'm just saying.
Okay, no, lost a little bit of weight. He lost a little bit of mass. He's still muscular, but he's not like.
I mean, but you see how we get in for the Witcher now? That man has no mass.
You're right.
Anyway, Phoebe can't fly. Prue is an adult, but Prue is still dead. Dead. But Phoebe's like, well, since he's back in the bottle, the sister can get 3 more wishes. And I'm like, that's not how any of this works at all. Not how this works. But again, I didn't write this episode. So they get more wishes. Piper tried to take the bottle, but the dragon warlock appears, tackles Piper. The bottle rolls underneath some random couch that they got. This goes back to the premonition that Phoebe had where she saw the bottle roll underneath the couch. And that helped because Leo was able to orb, distract the dragon warlock. And right before this happened, Dan almost got crispy fried. Poor Dan. Dan just wanted to love somebody and just be loved back. And he being told that his ex-girlfriend's a witch, this fuckboy is a white lighter, he almost got burned to a crisp. He almost just died in the span of 2 hours from old age and in a heart condition. They finally get the bottle after all of this shit. They save the witch. Prue comes back to life. The power of three sets them free. The dragon warlock is vanquished. And while all this was happening, went back to his house because he was over it.
Mm-hmm, as he should have.
Piper goes to visit him, and that man just looked like he went home and drank some more.
Oh, he 1,000% did. He did.
He was like, this was not what I was expecting. This is not the life that I wanted to lead. I did not want to know that there were all of these horrible things in the world. I don't ever want to talk to you again.
And I think,
and I hate the fact that we got right. I hate the fact that it almost seems like we got another Andy trying to make it seem like these girls can never date humans. Versus if she had told him earlier when they were dating and he was like, I love you, I want to be with you forever, so whatever you're hiding from me, I'm sure that we can work it out. Versus like almost dying, having your homeboy in my face, all alive, even though he should have died in 1954. Like, I just, of course, he would want nothing to do with her. He's heartbroken. And then got all of this extra shit laid. It just, I don't know. It just bothered me. I hated that. Because I felt like, especially from what we saw in the past, Dan would have been okay with it.
Yeah, I feel like you told me this in the span of like 6 hours of me rapidly aging and everything like that. So it was a very traumatic experience for him. Mm-hmm. So of course he couldn't accept it. And then on top of all that, you like, what was it? Girl boss gatekeep gaslight for like 17 episodes. So,
girl, he was over it.
You ain't shit. You've never been shit.
Your mama ain't shit. Your grandma not shit. Your sister's not shit.
Your daddy ain't shit.
Look at that. What the fuck is Kit?
You came from a long line of ain't shit motherfuckers because your daddy abandoned you. Your mom's a cheater. Your mom, your grandmother, you know, she was Susan Lucci of her day. So, like, who was there to teach you? Who was there to really show you how to be a good person? Yo. Imagine if these were real people. I would, like, I'm so mean.
I would just be back. Get her, Jade. So, Piper get her feelings hurt. She go back inside. And the genie is telling the other three about the demon council.
Mm-hmm.
And that they coming for you. And Phoebe's like, that's great. This makes me feel like we're just not out here like killing demons for no reason. Like there's a purpose behind what we do. I was like, okay, I guess that makes sense in a way. But you telling me, but Leo knows about the council.
Does he?
Remember the higher ups last week, the higher ups.
He said, my bosses talk to their bosses. I don't think the triad at this point is considered bosses. Well, they be playing fast and loose with triad. With the triad.
Right, right. Okay, all right, all right, all right. So they got two more wishes. They're going to make the genie human again. But he's like, let me not grant that just yet. Because Piper comes back and Piper is like, before you become human, can you make Dan forget about magic and make a clean break and not to have no consequences? And when the GD walks away, he's free of the council and the bottle. And we see Dan getting ready to go to Portland. And she looks and, you know, she gives a little wave and he gives her the heads up.
He gives her the hey neighbor.
Yep. And she goes back inside. Leo gets his little ring-a-ling ding-a-ding. And she's like, I need to meet these people. Take me with you. Emperor Phoebe, like, are y'all coming back? Y'all gonna come back? And she was like, yeah, we're gonna come back. But I need to see, like, more of him. I need to know more of this man that I ruined another man's life for. I need to know more about him. And then they walk back into the house and we get, you know, our special ending where Prue telekinetically closes the door. The end of season 2.
Like I said, I'm over talking about Leo and Piper's relationship. So let's talk about trivia. So in our trivia section, French Stewart is the second and last actor to be credited with a special appearance. This is officially the last Dan episode, which sucks. The title is based upon the warning, be wary of magical gifts, be careful what you wish for, yada, yada, yada. We made that joke earlier. Yeah. This episode, like I said, was directed by Shannon. She actually directs two more episodes, The Good, the Bad, and the Curse, and all hells breaks loose. She admitted that her acting suffered a bit as it because it was her first time directing, which I don't really feel like you weren't really in the episode, so how could it be that bad? But maybe that's why. Brad Kern, the executive producer, makes a cameo as Dan Gordon's real estate agent, or whoever that man he was talking to when Piper rolled up. Mm-hmm. And last but certainly not fucking least, initially Shannon Doherty wanted to end her character after this episode, but she already signed the contract for the third season. She was like, kill me! Get me out of here! Get me the fuck out of here! Wow. And they said, no, we got you for one more year. That's why she, you know, notice that, like, every season thus far, it's something around death in Peru, so the signs were always there. How would you handle the conflict in this episode?
I would be with Dan. Like, I don't know what you want me to say at this point. The conflict is that that man is a bum bitch. And none of this would have happened if she had just been with Dan and told Dan, I'm over this episode.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would have actually done differently was have the genie go with Leo and then have him escape Leo somehow to wreak havoc. Because he's the one who, like, don't trust genies, but I'm gonna leave you alone with them. You see how that don't work, you dumb bitch?
I don't work at all.
But yeah, that's literally about it. I feel like it would have been it's a very clunky episode because it's three men writing three women and they're fucking weird. Yeah, how would you rate it? Actually, two parts. How would you rate this season? How would you rate this episode?
Season was mid. I'm gonna give it a 5. Season was mid. I think my favorite episode was when we went back in time. Cause I feel like I've referenced that a lot. That was my favorite episode. And then we start to see like evil Phoebe. And evil Phoebe's my favorite Phoebe. This episode, I'm gonna give it an 8 because the next episode we get Cole. Seriously, I'm gonna give it like a 3. It was, especially for it being a season finale, if they had gotten canceled off of this, I would have understood why.
Yeah, that's true. I think for this episode, I'm definitely on par with you. I would give it a 3. The cliffhanger isn't really a cliffhanger. She got her main job. That's the cliffhanger. I'm gonna see where you work at. And yeah, there's no real cliffhanger. There's nothing to bring me back for season 3. Overall, yeah, this season was like a 4 for me. I can't tell you why. I feel like 5 is too high, but like 4 seems appropriate. Very uneven, very oddly paced. I think it gets to the 4 because of the Miss Hellfire episode. But that's literally about it. But we get season 3 and I've already started watching it. And it's so good. I started watching episode 1 today of season 3. Okay. And I'm like, yes. Give me this dark, dastardly shit. Not whatever the fuck this episode was.
But And maybe I shouldn't have watched it. Like, maybe I shouldn't have watched Supernatural and then coming back to this. Because you could just... I heard the comics are better. So maybe we'll do season...
You remember in season 1 when I was like, but Supernatural. And you were just like, I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you're talking about. Now you know.
Now I know. Well, that's it. Oh, well, we never got to do our therapy episode. You want to do that next week before we dive back into season 3?
Yeah. My stand, so I don't have to hold my phone and have it angled at the screen manually, will be here. Okay. I mean, it's already here. I just have to pick it up. Amazon owes me money because it didn't deliver in the 2 days. And I'm going to be a Karen and be like, you said July 7th. It got delivered on the 8th. That's not the 2 days that I paid for.
They're going to give you 1 month free for Amazon Prime. That's what they do now.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine, all right. I need to save money anyway. But blessed be, drink your water, mind your business. It's hot as fuck. It's humid. Don't fall in love with a con man. I mean, if you do fall in love with a con man, I'm sorry.
Con him first.
We warned you. We warned you, but some witches be hoes. Blessed be.
Blessed be.